Good afternoon, good afternoon. This is Veronica Entwistle, and you have tuned into Radiance by Design, because we're all little radiators. Up here in the Northwest, we're actually getting some heat, so there's a radiator blasting in our direction as well. What do we radiate out? We radiate out thoughts and feelings, some of them old, some of them a part of that netting of material that we've gotten through all kinds of past activities, through our legends, through our soul's journey, through our galactic journeys, through our genetics, through our parents, through a mom's womb, through some reactions to childhood and belief structures we built up. Holy mackerel, what a huge weaving is around each and every one of us. But intrinsically, we're underneath it all. We're what? Vibrational vehicles of light. We're light beings. We're vibrational first, and we're physical after. But then we got all this energetic lacing and all this stuff that we have to get through. So we do all kinds of changing, shifting, meditations, visualizations, exercises, all in this attempt to, from my perspective anyway, in this attempt to reach beyond those limiting forces on human nature. And remember the collective, that huge swimming pool of leftover thoughts and feelings from people all over the world, and who knows, maybe beyond the world, that's something that also blocks our expansion and our release from our limitations and so on. It blocks our evolution. So what I like to do on Radiance by Design is get hold of something. Let's do some practice together of some meditations, some energy shifting tools, some releasing of energy that is maybe yours, the caller's, based on one of the circumstances you're going through. If you're having a question you want to phone in about, and with the guides and angels, we shift the energy in your body mind that has created that block or limitation, that question. Other people listening to you, other people listening to this show, will also receive a release of that energy block. Hence, we're doing some kind of service of unlimiting at least a little bit of the collective, helping us all get to a time and a place of a lot more human potential. I've been interviewing a lot of different people for the Dowsers Conference. The Dowsers are energy beings who work with the energies in the land and in the universe in order to access what's under the earth, where's the water, but also in people, what's limiting us. It's another version of this very stuff that we're doing. So I haven't done my call-in show for 2 full weeks, and I miss talking to you. So I hope you're going to be calling in today, and we're also going to hear from one of the Dowsers, Karen, for just a few minutes. She's going to call in to tell about the children's program, and I want to talk about you, your children. I want to talk about rapid changes on our planet going on right now and the craziness that we can feel sometimes. We're going to talk about meditating our way out of that, whirling our way out of it, or doing the structures to design our way out of it. So I'm going to start the show with some phone numbers right away, and then we're also going to break and do a structure. Remember the structures? Those are self-created laboratories for doing your own personal evolutionary research and for healing other people. We're going to do those as well, but I'm giving the numbers right away because I want to talk to people today. 877-876-5227 in the U.S. Again, 877-876-5227 in the U.S. Call in with a question and we'll do some energy shifting and see if we can see more of your radiance pop up. And if you're in Canada, I love some of my friends in Canada as well. 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. And the direct line is 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. So I'm looking forward to talking to you about your own lives. Are you going through huge change? Are things seeming too fast for you? How are you coping? What's stuck in your world? I wonder if we can help you pole vault into the next style of self. A lot of it is actually, and the guides are talking to us recently, or actually just a few minutes ago, a lot of it is restyling, designers would say, retooling your individuality, your personality, and your identity. And that's really happening with a lot of us. And then when we're doing that, when we're kind of stifled or stymied by the way our presentation has worked in the world and the patterned and repatterned situations that keep coming up to us, then when it's like that, we literally are looking at holding patterns. What are we hanging on to? What are we identifying with that is outmoded? How can we release our attachments, and how can we become free to design the world that we want? We've sure heard enough about manifestation lately, haven't we? So let's start the show with our structures. And I'd like you to take a deep breath and close your eyes as well, unless you're driving. Again. And above your head, perhaps a mile and a half, envision a golden ball, and it's really a bright golden ball. And below your spine, perhaps 40 feet, another golden ball. Then from as far out as you can, the galactic center, draw a filament of light right down in through the golden ball, down in through the top of your head and through your spine, through the spine, out into the lower golden ball, and then right into the core of the earth. And do you feel that? Can you feel it there? And now above, from your waist up, perhaps 10 or 12 feet out from your body, you're going to create, that's the base, where you're going to have the base of a four-sided pyramid. The point, the top point of the pyramid is going to reach right up to that golden ball above. And you've got the four points, one going in front, one behind, and one on either side. And at each of those points, put a little golden ball. So you have a four-sided pyramid pointing up. And now you're going to have a four-sided pyramid pointing down. The same thing, only the golden ball, 40 feet below, is the bottom point. So now you're in a structure, which is four sides up, four sides down. It's called an octahedron. That's right. It's an eight-sided structure, an octahedron. And now inside of that eight-sided structure, you're creating a crystal ball. The outside edges of your crystal ball touch the inside edges of your structure. And how does that feel? Does it feel softly moving in and around your body? It's the feminine energy. And now inside that farther, you're going to create a star tetrahedron, and that's a three-sided pyramid pointing up and a three-sided pyramid pointing down. Then if you were to squish from point to point, the top point and the bottom point, squish it so that each pyramid enters the other about a third of the way through. That isn't quite right. One of them has to turn 60 degrees. And if all of the star tetrahedrons is too complicated, just do a three-sided pyramid pointing up and three-sided pyramid pointing down, and so you've got yourself a diamond shape. So if you've got your star tetrahedron, it relates to the light body. That's the body, the vehicle with which we can go through different dimensions and how we've traveled out in space. Every time I say that, every time I read about that, I want to just do it more and more. And I know that we do travel. In my consciousness, I'm aware of being in different places, but I guess I feel like I'd like us here on Radiance by Design to just spin this thing up and then really just take off when we want to. All right, now you're in the star tetrahedron, and I'd like you to spin and spin and spin and feel the energies in your body-mind shifting as you do. Spin and spin and spin, and then whilst you're spinning, see in front of you a magical screen. And on the screen, start to create little movies of what it is you want to design in your life, what it is you'd like to experience, what it is you'd like to achieve, people you'd like to help, world situations you'd like to appease. For myself, I see such an expansion. I can just feel it as I whirl and whirl. See myself stepping out of the matrix, the mesh. Oh, we've made a mesh of ourselves with all the experiences we've had. I see so many people meeting, wanting healing, being healed, being nurtured, being loved and supported, various people that you're having dissensions with, or even being healed, and there being a win-win for everyone, that we're all learning. Sometimes learning is abrasive, one with the other, isn't it? You see that amazing job you're wanting to create? Woo-wee! See yourself arriving at the workplace. Maybe you get to work from home. Looking great, feeling great, just being full of that great light that comes through you when you're on track with your journey. See your resources flowing and coming to you well and easily for the sake of all concerned. And for those of you who need some specific physical healing or mental healing or spiritual healing, whatever, see that happening. See the light moving through your body. For those people passing that you know, let's see their passing being conscious and like gliding. You might want to wrap them in the star tetrahedron and spin and spin and spin so they feel an ease in their transition. When you're ready, come back into your star tetrahedron or your double tetrahedron. And again, spin and spin and spin. How does that feel? I've been talking a lot about children lately and how to keep children being magical in the world. And it's interesting because with these structures, first of all, I'm going to start teaching children some of these structures. I mean, it's a natural, isn't it? They can imagine being in their little spaceship and spinning and spinning, and they can get very magical because children are really closer to those memories. But I'll tell you what, I watch children in action, and a lot of them are being kind of compressed in our society these days as well. So they might need a little bit of a boost. And at the Dowsers Conference, they're having a dowsing. You know what dowsing is water witching and that kind of thing. And as I said earlier, is that anybody working with subtle energies and so on is really called a dowser at this particular conference. And they're doing a whole thing, a school for children, teaching children how to douse, teaching children how to speak with fairies, find fairies and speak with fairies, teaching children how to awaken their centers, teaching children chakras and so on. And Karen Ashley, who's been coordinating all of these amazing projects and people for the Dowsers Conference, is going to call in a little bit later and tell us for about 5 or 10 minutes all about the children's program there. So if you're having troubles with children or children are not getting along and so on, give it a try. Get them put in these structures. Teach them how to do the structures if you can. But if not, and if they're just misbehaving at the time or they feel out of control or they feel desperately hurt and so on, try it out. Put them in the double tetrahedron or the star tetrahedron and spin them. Or if you can remember the whole structure, get them in there and see if it doesn't make a difference. Because again, what we've been talking about is this incredible meshing of, and children have it too. We're born and we have all this stuff that comes with us, that comes from other lifetimes, that comes from energetic entanglements with mothers, with lineage, with genetics and so on. And so here we are struggling away trying to work to get beyond our I guess what we would call it is our programming, all the programmings that we've had. Apparently we've been programmed by the Pleiadians, for example, Lazarus anyway, and maybe others teach that that's where we started out as a race, that we, well, the race was on and the gun went off, boom. Anyway, that we were programmed to be this experiment to see if we could become self-styling and self-creative and generate our life our way. But we were programmed so as to limit our life span and so on, so that the resources would be available for all of us. And as far as I can understand, it's not only Lazarus, I've heard this from several other people, in fact, that we're breaking out of the programming at this point, and we're learning to create the reality that we would desire, and we're learning that we have the potential to create our wealth, our resources, our health, and all of that. So this is all a part of getting children in touch with the fact that they have the ability to move themselves beyond what seems like kind of a crushing limitation. So when we see these kind of meshing of these programs in our body-mind, it's wonderful to think of changing them. And my paradigm shifter today is a really fascinating woman. Her name is Rowena Kreider. And Rowena is a very interesting woman. She's well into her 70s. She's been educated and so on in life, and yet what she's done is really spent most of her life very shamanic, setting all kinds of philosophical goals and directions and coming up with amazing symbolic art, wanting to touch the deeper subconscious reality, the potential to create and design her reality in her life by contacting Source, or what she calls the One. And I'm pretty interested lately, for those of you who remember other paradigm shifters, we talked with Caroline Corey, and her work is all about contacting Source and stepping out of that meshing. She doesn't ever use these terms. I'm using the terms that my guides presented to me. But stepping out of the meshing or the kind of netting or weaving of programs that all of us are dealing with, stepping through it, stepping through the maze, stepping into a center of consciousness ourselves. And in that center of consciousness, we can actually be in touch with Source energy, or that which creates us. Now, that's a pretty big job, but she was talking, Rowena's going to talk to us about having studied with various Roshis and all kinds of healing teachers and so on, but mostly finding it herself through her shamanic work. And what is shamanic work? Shamanic work is, I remember years ago looking it up because I was told that some of my work is shamanic, and I like that. And what I learned is it's just using altered states in order to create a change. So if you change the state of consciousness in which you are, you can literally access other capabilities and other powers and actually change parts of your existence at this time. So by changing your states of consciousness, you can perhaps do some healing. And what I was reading with Rowena, she was saying that, I was reading her book, and what she was saying is that shamanics means experiencing life and death over and over again. Meaning when you die to the identity, we were talking earlier in this discussion, where you go back into dying to the identity, which is tethering you to, for example, interactions with certain people or family of origin or whatever, relationships, and it's keeping you limited and so on. To get out of that, you literally have to face a death of your identity. Because as you separate from your attachments to other people or those things I asked you to focus on, which are the holding patterns, when you have holding patterns with other people, that means placing them in your life in such a way as you always feel secure. Of course, we all do that, right? So how does that feel? Let's go inside for a minute and ask how we're holding on, or who are we holding on to? Just ask right now, just who am I holding on to? Okay, we're all holding on to people, so don't pretend to me. Don't you just try and tell me you're not holding on to anybody, because I know that isn't true. It isn't true for me either. So what we want to do is go in and feel and experience what it's like to be holding on to someone. And they could be friends, relatives, yeah, family structure, husbands, wives, children. Just pay attention to it. Now, just look at those holding patterns. Where are they in your body? This is really important stuff here. Because I notice when I go through several different people that I'm holding on to, and I ask to feel where it is in my body, it's pretty darned interesting. In one case, I've got it right in my head. I'm going, whoa, I have to really look at that. Where are you getting the holding patterns? Take a look. Somebody's got it in the throat. And I see some of you are being very honest with yourselves right now, and I really commend you for that. I see somebody absolutely afraid of holding at the same time as holding like mad. And the reason I mention that is because in her case, I see that her shoulder, her chest and her shoulders are really tense. And what she's trying to do is say to herself that she's releasing the person whilst hanging on for dear life. You ever done that? I think we all have, okay? So what we want to do is experience, okay, and here's somebody else, and they're hanging on at the throat. You can feel it. There's a real hanging on at the throat. And that can represent not being able to express ourselves, whichever way it goes, the person, the hangee or the hanger. Who else is holding on? Somebody's holding on to some really complex trials and tribulations, and in the holding pattern, I see the pain in the back of the head, the occiput, and it's really, when you think about that, that's really dangerous because that's the area in which we can get Alzheimer's and that kind of thing. That's also where we can block spiritual influence, you know. So if you've had tremendous losses, and a few of us have had that. I feel like I've had it, and I know an awful lot of people have had tremendous losses in this life. And usually it's en route to becoming more purified or learning who you really are, learning how zesty the universe can truly be. So this one I'm looking at, there's several of you, but there's one that's got the back pain, the back of the head pain. And it's almost like a stiff neck that's come from really holding on to a and see, it's right at the sacrum as well, the back and the small of the back. It's holding on to a devastating event, which was probably 10 years or maybe a little more, 10 years earlier or so. And holding on to the reaction of it has designed this person's identity, making the person cautious, and not particularly open to new friendship, for example. I'm holding on to a job because of security, a job that is not really enjoyed, but is accepted as in a grateful fashion, to be honest, because it's there and it keeps things together. Because this person sort of feels if he doesn't hold on, he'll just fly apart in a million pieces. And that nobody's really going to want to be with them, and that there's no, we talk about creating our reality, we talk about the zest of the universe. This person doesn't truly believe in that at all. And so I'm watching that going, okay, so if I were you, or I would, for myself, I would like very much to pay attention to this holding pattern that's in the occiput, or the holding pattern for you that's in your jaw, or the holding pattern for you over there that's in your knees and your legs. Now, the knees and the legs represent flexibility and support, don't they? And that your knees feel very achy and almost burning, and then the thighs feel very weak. And as you get older, that can be pretty scary because you start thinking you can't kind of leap and cavort and be a little nimble. And really, it means a lot about holding on to past beliefs about nobody being there to support us. The reality is you need to move that. So again, we're going to exaggerate. Oh, and there's some's got it in the stomach. I should ask Bob, where do you have it, Bob? In the stomach? So I want you to do this now. Wrap yourselves in light. I should have said this at the beginning, remember? We should always enclose ourselves in a light, you know, in a ball of light when we're doing these kinds of things because you don't want other people to take them on. So swish yourself with light and then command a break so that other people don't take on what you're doing because you don't want to take their stuff on. You want us all to clear. Because remember, the collective, which is the energy that we share, we want it to become more buoyant, lighter, and more, what, giving, changeable, opening than it's been in the past. We want to see human consciousness shift so it can create love and peace and a win-win for all and creating a new ecosphere. And anyway, enough about that. So I want you to wrap yourself in light again. And we're calling in our own guides and angels and the presence of our higher selves. And we're going to ask for help as we command total release of these holdings right now. And I want you to pay attention to what happens in you when you do that. Command total release. Total release. Now what's happening when you do that? It's not really going for some of you, is it? So let's try something else. Sometimes when it, for some of you, it expanded instead of releasing. You notice that? And as it expands, pay attention to where it expands in your body. If it's in your pelvic area, if it's in your ears, if it's in your shoulders, pay attention. That speaks to your pelvic area. Holds, your creativity. It also holds everybody else's influence. So you're standing in the back of your own womb saying, who am I in the middle of all this? It's the subconscious. It's karma. It's mom and dad. It's sexuality. Good. And now, let's see who else has got it. Somebody got it really expanding in your shoulders. I want you to exaggerate that. And the shoulders are how we hold up the world. It's where we're responsible. And how we hold up the whole world. Meaning you can't go out and have fun and just tap dance and be a lark because you got to hold up the whole world. So when I asked you to dump your holding, you couldn't. It just started to radiate. And when it does that, it's telling you more about where you are and what you believe at a deep subconscious level. Take advantage of it. Let it be really uncomfortable. Deep breath. And now what we're going to do is take a spiraling platinum light. Bring it down from the galactic center and move it in through the top of your head and move it round and round and round like a bottle washer in through the top of your head, round and round inside your head, around your brain. You who had the occiput just sitting there pulsing, or those of you with stiff necks or uncomfortable necks, get that golden spiraling light, platinum light, golden and platinum, however you see it. Spiraling through your neck. Remember, the neck represents consciousness of self, or that's one interpretation. And then have the spiraling platinum light swish through your shoulders, moving those holding patterns from your shoulders, because guess what? You can't hold up the world in a way. You're probably better to roll around on the floor than stand in a rigid pattern. And now have the spiraling platinum light move through your chest and your stomach. The belly area, the pelvic area, small of your back, genital area, and have it cycle through, spiraling and spiraling through your thighs, where you have all your issues of support. They're ancient issues of support, too. Do you believe that the male supports you? Did your dad, did your grandfather, did your great-grandfather, did the King of England, did anyone, the male authority, support you? You swirl it through the upper, the thigh of your right leg. And what about the women? Your mom, your grandma, your partner, your friends, pick a woman, any woman, women's movement, the Queen of England. Good. And now spiral that golden platinum light, gold and platinum light through your legs, both legs, knowing that you're moving a holding to some of the old beliefs about being supported. And have that light move through your knees, where you hold issues of fear, fragility, flexibility. And you know, it's a really good thing to do, to keep running lights through your knees. A lot of people tell me they have a knee injury here and there, and you can actually shift that by moving these lights. And have the spiraling platinum light move through your calves, ankles, and through your feet and your toes. Excellent. And then shoot through the core of the earth. Remember, Mother Earth takes on some of this old dust that we're releasing at this time and transforms it and releases it. So do it with loving. Because what we really want to do is release our patterns that create our identity and see what happens. So we're going to get a call any minute from our friend Karen from the Dowsers. She's going to talk about the amazing children's dowsing school. Isn't that an exciting thing? Hi.
Hello. Good
You're on the air. Hi, Karen.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm having fun.
Good, so am I.
I just told everyone, this is Karen Ashley of the Dowsers, and I've just told everyone that you've set up a, or you're working with a wonderful Dowsers school for kids.
That I am.
Do you want to talk about it a little bit? What's going to go on there?
Well, we have a West Coast Dowsing Conference in Santa Cruz, and
starting
July 4th, mm-hmm. and it goes through to July 9th. It includes dowsing and dowsing instruction and all kinds of metaphysical activities that relate to dowsing. And we have a children's program within that conference where folks who have children or grandchildren or friends, neighbors, they can bring their children to the conference, and we have a mini conference for the kids. And so the folks who are the speakers and presenters at the conference like to work with the kids, so I've structured it just like the conference. And the children will have speakers and do activities, and they'll learn how to douse.
So a lot of people think that dowsing is taking a Y-shaped stick from a tree. Is that what the children are going to work with?
They will learn about the basics of dowsing and the history and the background. What we usually do is let the children experience with their parents the dowsing school in the morning, and they can take in whatever they want. And we have instructors there to help them. After lunch, we have an activity this year, which is sacred geometry and geomancy. And
what's geomancy?
Geomancy is the study of the energy of the earth and how that affects us and how it interacts with all the beings on the earth.
How have the children done in the past? You've done this for several West Coast Dowsers conferences before.
How often have we done this children's program?
Yeah, you've done it before.
Oh, this is our 10th year of doing this.
Oh, wow.
We have children that have grown up. In fact, the first child that came with us is now graduating from high school this year, or just did. And her father is one of our mega helpers at the conference.
And she started off very young. Did she learn how to douse?
She learned how to douse. It's very interesting because you give them the experience, because dowsing is something we all do. It's all part of us as humans. We've been doing it for lifetimes. We've been doing it for over millenniums on the planet Earth.
Some people might not be aware that dowsing is water witching. People used to do it to find wells probably all the time, didn't they?
It's really a skill that's called active intuition. It's you tuning into your own intuition through getting sensations and feelings and nudges. And dowsing is just a way to train people how to tap into that intuition that's always been there.
Mm.
And the training happens by using a stick or a rod or a pendulum. In fact, many people who are metaphysical use pendulums and don't realize that they're dowsing.
Mm.
But that's probably the primary main way of dowsing is through using a pendulum.
Mm.
And it's the energy or the intuition comes through in the asking of a question.
Well, so how do little kids do with it all?
They're naturals.
Mm.
They're absolute naturals. They just seem to pick up on it really quick. They don't have any doubt the way we do.
Mm.
So they'll just pick it up and start doing it. Most children will do that.
So you find that they're then much more open to all the other energy forms that we're learning, you know, to...
Exactly. Yeah, we have a woman who takes the kids on a fairy walk, Deva walk in the redwood trees, and it's really cool. You know, the redwood trees have so many elementals and devas and fairies and just beautiful energy. And she teaches them how to tune into it. Well, the kids have been looking at these things for years but didn't get any validation for it because the world out there thinks they're kooky. So they keep it to themselves, you know. So here's a place they get validation for the things that they've been experiencing.
Hmm.
And it's very neat to watch them, you know, get support for that part of their life that doesn't really give them that kind of support or acknowledgement when they're in school. And then they'll take it to school and share it with their friends, and that's the whole point, is to allow children that experience, and then they take it to the world.
Isn't that exciting? So do they teach them also healing energy?
Pardon?
Do they also teach them? Do you hear me okay?
It's a little faint, but that's okay.
Okay. Do they also teach them healing energy?
Yeah, exactly. We have specific subjects that we do, and each year it's different because different speakers come to the conference and volunteer to teach for a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
So we're having the geomancy and the sacred geometry, and then we have a lady who's been teaching them how to douse for years and does all kinds of little exercises and magical things. She brings toys and gems and a variety of things and hides them in the trees, and then they have to find them, and they always do.
Mm-hmm. You have to find them by dowsing?
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah, they're real good at it.
Hmm.
And then they measure auras and they measure energy fields, and then they kind of tune into their feelings and thoughts, you know, like they do nasty thoughts and ugly thoughts, or think about certain words like war, and then through the rods you can measure how your energy field retracts, and then the children will think about happy thoughts and peace and loving experiences and puppy dogs and kitties, and their energy field goes way out. And you know, they have these experiences where they really actively feel how their thoughts are affecting other people.
Hmm. So they actually douse the expansion and the contraction of their energy field?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. I mean, I wish I'd grown up like that, Karen.
Yeah. Tell me about it. Yeah. Yeah, we've all been fortunate to be in this work,
mm-hmm.
and it's wonderful to be able to allow the parents, people of parenting age, to come to the conference, because we let the children come for free.
Mm-hmm.
The parents, you know, they will pay what they, their conference fee, but try to make it easy for the parents to bring their children. And we also have, what else do we have this year? We have a basic dowsing instructor, and then we're having someone do Qigong with the kids.
Oh, great.
Qigong, and then she's going to take them on a guided journey to meet their spirit guide.
Wow.
Then a lot of the children that come, they don't necessarily live in the area.
Mm-hmm.
They may live inland or in different places, so we like to give them the experience of being in Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
So we carpool, and they take them down to the beach, and we just let them play on the beach. And then we have a labyrinth builder that helps show them how to build a labyrinth out of seaweed on the beach.
Oh, my.
And that's fun. They like that.
So, wow. So they got skills and talents that a lot of us take quite a bit of our adult years to use. Do most of them continue with this?
I think they do. You know, it's like once you plant the seed, it never goes away. I get stories from parents that'll email me, you know, maybe I hadn't heard from them for several years, and then they'll talk about something their child has now done that's, the child is older and it has to do with dowsing, or they'll, the things that they learn they bring to their friends. Like one boy was teaching his friends how to douse for the water pipes under the streets. Another child is, you know, she's a lot older now. She's a teenager and she teaches dowsing.
Wow, that's wonderful.
You know, in a little rec center.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
And it's very, very useful.
But this is what it's all about. You know, we talk about, hey, that we got to do something to save the planet. We have to do something to bring more peace and harmony on the planet. And there's no better way than education and teaching folks and starting out early with children, laying that foundation down, so that they have a consciousness that's beyond what they get in the media and school and the kind of rigid belief systems that they grow up with.
Now tell me this. Do you think it's so that if you're going to do dowsing, you cannot be in your ego?
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's very true. And if you are in your ego, the answers you get will not be as clear. They won't be as accurate.
So it's actually a good way to teach just simply consciousness, isn't it?
It really is, because when you get really clear answers, you get a sensation. It happens to me all the time. I get this sensation, and I know, that's it.
Hmm.
And I may not like the answer. My ego is kind of screaming at me, saying, no. Try again.
I want it to be this way.
But that other side of me is saying, it's it. And we always say at the conference, if you learn how to be a really good water dowser, you don't necessarily have to go out and do water dowsing. But in learning the skill of water dowsing, you understand how this works, and you can use it in anything else because you've gotten the skill. You know what's going on.
And it's actually breaking into a whole capacity within that many people don't ever try and find, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'm very excited about coming to the conference, and I thank you so much for your call. I'm pretty interested in this children's thing.
Yeah, I'm really excited. We've been doing it for 10 years now, and we just always want to include children with dowsing and let children take, you know, this consciousness to the world that they live in.
Take every part of their own lives, right?
Right, exactly.
Wonderful. Well, I look forward to seeing you there, Karen.
I look forward to seeing you, too.
Thanks for
calling.
And
thank you so much. It's going to be an awesome conference.
I know it is. And how can people find it on the web?
Dowsers, www.dowsers, that's D-O-W-S-E-R-S, westcoast.org.
Excellent. All right, thank you, Karen. That was Karen Ashley, and we're looking forward to seeing all the wonderful things she set up, not alone, but thank you. So that was very exciting. What do you all think about that? Call in with your questions. Doesn't look like anybody's calling in today. I'm sort of surprised because I haven't been on as a talk show for a few weeks, and I've been getting complaints. So I figured that you were all just chomping at the bit to tell me your life tales and so on. Have any of you learned to douse? I'd love to use my tea bag. I pendle with a tea bag. Do any of the rest of you do that? So what we were talking about is moving out of the meshing of all the past reactions that have created whatever the programming is in our world at this point in time. We were talking about that. I'm kind of fascinated that when you're pendling or dowsing or drawing in the higher light to get some kind of divination running through your body mind, you literally have to go through a kind of surrender. You have to make connections with energy. I believe you have to protect yourself I always say wrap yourself in light and draw through a higher energy and then play with your pendulum and so on, your pendulum. And so on. But I think, Karen, it was very interesting to me when we were talking about the ego, because it's true, isn't it? If you have your ego involved, then you're going to want to design the answer. Oh, goody, we have a caller. You're going to want to design the answer. And that isn't true dowsing, because the dowsing has to come through you from the higher consciousness. Anyway, we have a caller, so hello, you're on the air.
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Tony.
Hi, Tony?
Yes.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you so much. I have a question, or maybe it's something that I'm experiencing and I'm not too sure how to release myself from it, or I just feel very, I do feel kind of blocked in terms of expressing my, being able to express myself or fulfill my mission or my dream or something like that, and I can't seem to.
What's your age, darling?
In my mind, I'm 21, but I'm really in my 40s.
Okay.
In my 40s.
The only reason I ever ask age is because it's so hard to, you know, it clears up where we are.
Oh, yeah, okay, well, maybe that's the problem then, because I think I'm 21, so I'm there, but I'm really just too, no, I don't think that's the problem, I don't know.
Did you hear the part of the show where we were talking about bringing up your holding pattern?
Yes.
It seems like there's some kind of authority holding on to you that you're being pressed upon, do you know that?
No.
Okay, so what we're going to do is go into your soul journey. What kind of work do you do at this time? Because you need to become more intuitive and more creative in your work. Do you know that?
Yes, I do, and that's something I'm working on. I'm working on a lot.
What are you working at? What's your physical work?
Well, my physical work right now is I'm a teacher of little children, but I am an artist, and I want to have a peace organization that through art.
Well, it's very interesting to me because it feels like there's a male, and that could mean an authority, a structure that's holding you in place at some point. And it seems to come down from above, and I don't think it's for God or your guardian angel.
Right,
I think
no.
It's just the
mm-hmm.
authority presentation. And
mm-hmm.
it's keeping you, I want to sort of reach down the phone, and I want to play with your energy fields and sort of shake you up, because you have a very light and yet powerful kind of drive. You have the ability to create what it is you want, but you have to accept something about yourself being more powerful than the authority that you're buying into at this time.
Mm.
Is it a husband?
No. No. Maybe the woman that I'm working for.
Are you afraid not to be in the system?
Maybe. Well, maybe. Probably just taking the chance and not just going for it on my own, you know, believing in myself enough that I can do it on my own, then I don't need this position or this job that I'm in, and I could really, other people do it, why can't I do it, you know, do it on my own, and that's what I mean, I guess.
Well, you know something that's really wonderful about you is you have a really unusual combination of, like, a light-sensitive power, you know, that seems like mm-hmm. an oxymoron, but it isn't, and you're very powerful, and you have a lot of magic in you, and you said you're an artist, and I'm really glad, because I was going to say you have a lot of art, and I think also
okay.
music in there. And that there's a magic when you start to move forward. Well, you've already started on this project, I think, haven't you?
Yes.
When you move forward a little farther, you're going to find that your direction has like five different alleyways to it or something, and all of them you get support, and it starts to move very fast. You don't have to be fierce, and you don't have to be tough, and you are going to be able to work it through. You have a lot of help coming up. But I think you have to take a few more steps first, and then it will begin to manifest for you.
Okay.
But I want to say something to everybody at home about you, and probably about a lot of us on the path, because you're very much on the path, is your sensitivity is going to be your strength. It's going to be your dowsing rod, if you know what I mean.
All right, okay.
And mm-hmm. it's not going to be, it's just your belief in the structure of authority that's around you is kind of pinning you to a place.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start opening, I think even that authority is going to be quite generous with you.
Okay.
So you're moving ahead, and it's going to work out, but you are moving ahead, and it is going to work out, but you're going to experience a big opening over the next little while, and you're going to see how the universe does respond to you. You've done lots of metaphysical work, haven't you?
Yes.
You go, girl. You're doing really well.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're doing very well. Thank you for your call.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, darling.
It's such a pleasant to hear you. Okay, thank you.
And
bye
you.
Bye.
And
thanks.
You. Bye.
Bye.
So that was an interesting call because, you know, it's so amazing how vital our sensitivity is, that to have that acute sensitivity, and I see that in a lot of people, until we manifest through the sensitivity, until we really honor it and really address it as one of our gifts, it's kind of a pain in the neck. It's the reason we feel, oh, I'm not very strong, I can never do this, I can't focus properly, and so on. But it's that same softness that's going to become the big strength on the planet over the next little while. There are several of you out there. I can see, actually, several people. Call in, for heaven's sakes. I guess I'll do this without you calling. We only have a few minutes left anyway. But I see three women in particular who are very hesitant about using their sensitivity in the world. And the reason is that they've been programmed to believe that they can't do it or they can't use it. And that program, even though they're conscious about it, is limiting them in their 50s. And I'm seeing just three of them over here, one of whom was going to call in. I don't know why you didn't. But in any case, I see that that limitation is really a part of that meshing. It isn't who you are. Who we are is unlimited. We have to grab hold of those limitations, see them for what they are, and melt them. And I really feel like that's where you engage in your manifestation tools. This young lady is going to actually move very, very swiftly when she starts opening up and recognizing her sensitivity as being her dowsing rod. Now let's look at this fellow over here. There's a young man over here, and he's very confused about, let's see here, having, I think you're a musician, aren't you? Having a big dream and feeling like, do you ever have this feeling like, oh golly, this kind of thing doesn't happen for a person like me because of my history and my grandfather and so on. It's not true. When you get hold of that kind of feeling, hold it. Hold it tight. Take a look at it. Hold it tight and then release it. And then let it go like a bird back out there. Because you'll notice that when you have a belief like that, it really does create a holding in the body. And there will be some matching pain in the body, maybe just a very subtle tension. It'll just be some discomfort. Oh, goody, we just have time for you, caller, so welcome. You're on the air.
Well, hello.
Hi.
I had a question about what the fingers represent, the index finger and the joints in the fingers.
Okay. What's your name?
Linda.
Hi.
Hi.
I don't know all that, but wait a minute. The index finger is how you are... these are something I've never really investigated, but I'm just getting some information now.
Well, how, you know, all the digital joints, the fingers, because I was starting to feel my joints recently. That's something new.
Flexibility.
Flexibility.
I mean, it starts to get off when we don't know, go into the obvious, okay? That's where your fingers bend.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, they start swelling as you get older, don't they? Or some people do. Or they get misshapen.
Yeah, well, yeah, this was just a little bit of a joint thing where I have to adjust it, my left index finger, the first digit.
Are you left-handed?
No, I'm right-handed.
Okay. How's your right index finger?
It's just fine, but I've been feeling the joints a little bit after starting to drink some real good water, ionized water.
Good.
So I think
and it makes your joints
fine.
More, you're more aware of your joints from the ionized water?
I started to feel on that like a cleansing process.
Oh, good. That's really good.
Yeah.
Okay, so it seems to me that what you're doing is directing the, it's the right hand, so the left, I don't really know what the left is. It's very interesting to me. I haven't really thought about this one at all. The left index finger is where it's something about directing your life. You know that?
Okay, and...
And also the communication. Communication is the fourth finger. And
okay.
I believe it's strength and individuality is the middle finger, the big tall one.
Okay, right.
And how's your ring finger on your left hand?
It's good.
It's not bulging?
No.
Okay. Let me see your left hand. And then if you've got little crooks on your little fingers, it's often you don't have those anyway, do you? You've got fairly straight fingers?
Yes.
Okay.
My left wrist was also bothering me. All of a sudden, after drinking reverse osmosis water on a boat for 5 years, I thought that might have something to do with it.
That's
yeah,
very
the
interesting.
The left wrist, left index finger.
Isn't that interesting? So that's your feminine and your... I don't know what the wrist is either. You've stumped me today, Linda.
Okay.
But yeah. I don't know why the reverse osmosis process would create that except in a detoxing way, but
well, no minerals, possibly.
No minerals, yeah.
Right, but I was doing supplements or green drinks.
But there's something also about your your left shoulder as well.
I haven't noticed anything there.
Okay, so they're showing, this is what the guides are showing me right now,
mm-hmm.
is that when you're on the boat, there was an inhibition of your, I don't know how, but anyway, your feminine power or your feminine going forward power. I'm not sure why, because I think you had a degree of freedom, but there was something in you quite stifled. Do you understand that?
Well, yeah, there's always room for improvement, isn't there?
So you didn't feel stifled at all. They're saying that there's an imbalance. They show me your body this way as if your spine's in the middle. Of course it is. And the left side is less forceful or less vehement or less full of beans than your right.
Could you say that a little louder? I missed something.
Yeah, I don't know why I seem to be soft here. Your left side looks like it's not as vehement or vital as your right side.
All right.
And they showed that your energy fields while you were living on the boat seems to have gotten uneven. And I think that maybe it was the way you were, maybe it was a way of walking around the boat. Was it small?
No, it was level, multi-haul, sleigh ride.
Was it fun?
Didn't have to heel over. Pardon?
Was it a ball?
It was fantastic.
Was it?
It was a dream come true.
Really?
Yes, with my soulmate and beloved twin Ray.
Oh.
Yes, and then the day we sold the boat, he left the planet.
Was that a surprise?
Well, not to my small self, yes, but not my larger self. Yeah. So
how are your just a sec? I want to look at your left and right. Yeah, I really feel like you just had an imbalance going somehow, but it looks like it's getting better now. That's what I would say.
Yeah, I sense that it is, and maybe the water is helping.
Yeah, it might have just been the mineral deficiency, but I think there's something else, and I think it's something to do with the feminine, and I have to go right now, but I'm grateful for your call.
Oh, thank you so much for being there.
Many
lots
blessings.
Of input, I love it.
All right.
All right, aloha, bye-bye.
Aloha. All right, so we're going to see you at the top of the hour with Rowena Kreider, and she's just an amazing shamanic character, so those of you who can stay tuned. Otherwise, from 5 to 6 for our paradigm shifter this week. Otherwise, we'll catch you next week on Radiance by Design. This is Veronica Entwistle saying much love and many blessings. I'll see some of you from the Thursday night perspective of Jackie Salvitti's ET Healing. So we'll talk to you at 5 o'clock if you're on West Coast time.